You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all, we have so much to get into today, I fear. Like, what a week. What a past 2 weeks, what a month. And I feel like now is the time to really get into the weeds about it. So first, welcome back to Crying in Public. I'm your host, Sydney Winter. Guys, first things first, I want to paint the picture of how I'm recording right now. So if you listen to the first episode of this season, the last episode with both me and Sarah, I talked about how I couldn't relate to her tanning woes because I only self-tan like once a year. And however, since saying that, literally not only 2 months ago, I have self-tanned 3 times. So I'm currently recording in our living room that me, Sarah, and my other roommate, Chance, share in a bathing suit, sitting on a towel because our table and chairs are all white and I have like 3 coats of self-tanner on. So I'm like perched at the edge of my seat, trying not to get stuff everywhere. However, tonight is what we call in law school barrister's ball. So it's kind of like our law school prom. And that might be like, oh, so cute, like whatever. No, it's not. The only reason why I am going this year is because my friends convinced me and I love dressing up. However, it's hard to explain why it's so bad. Because prom was fun because we were all friends. It was our last year of high school. You got to dress up and take pictures. Like, it was so much fun, blah, blah, blah. The after parties. The first year was sort of like that, I guess. But the weird thing about law school is that everyone is a different age. So my friends and I are all like mid to late 20s. We have like one person in their 30s. But like a lot of the people in the law school are married with kids. So it's like the one night of the year where, you know, the kids have a babysitter. It's an open bar and they're out. I think just like mixing a lot of different ages of people and understandings of like social cues and behavior with an open bar, like you see some scary, freaky things. Like last year I was sober. I wasn't drinking. So I had like a 6 month period where I just like was not interested with alcohol. But seeing all of these people just acting crazy, and I'm talking about like making out at tables, like doing more than that. Like, we are in law school. I have to work with you all for the rest of my life. I have to see you on Monday in class. And I just wasn't loving that energy last year. However, I do love to dress up and get my hair done and do my makeup, so I will be there. And I actually got corralled into hosting a pregame this week, and I was like, oh, you know, like maybe 20 people. We currently have 101 people RSVP'd, so I'm now stressing about that, but you know, it'll all be good. I'm sitting here on my self-tanner, about to go get my hair done after I record this episode, so it'll all be okay, but you will see the pictures, don't worry. So after discussing my tanning woes, I have so many updates. So for those of you who don't live in New York, you probably already heard about this anyway, but I was in my bathroom yesterday doing what I needed to do. And I feel the floor start to shake. And mind you, I lived in California, like on and off. It's where my dad and stepmom and little brother live. So like I've been through an earthquake before. Like I usually know what it feels like. We're in California, so there's no like, oh, what could this be? Whatever. So I'm sitting on the toilet and I was like, is the room shaking or is it me? I was like, am I sick? I'm about to pass out or something. Why is my whole body shaking? And at first I was like, we have an in-unit washer and dryer, which is pretty rare for New York, but our dryer sits on top of our washing machine in a closet. So sometimes when it shakes, it gets really, really loud. And so part of me was like, it's kind of crazy I can hear our dryer all the way from the living room into my bathroom. And then I get a text from one of my friends who lives like 15 blocks away. And they were like, did you just feel that? And I was like, well, yes. Did you just feel that? And so we're like in our law school friends group chat. And everyone's like, oh my God, it was an earthquake, whatever. Maybe I am a dumb nut, but I did not know that they have earthquakes in New York. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, it's doomsday. Like the time has come. It's going to be a tsunami in 20 seconds. Like, I don't know what's going on. But there was like a 5 minute period when things were funny. Like everyone was like, oh my God, like earthquake in New York, like what's happening? There's a bunch of memes. People are like posting earthquake by Tyler the Creator on their story. And then the meme started. I don't know how, if you guys feel the same way, but I feel like because of social media now and how quickly things spread, things become unfunny so quickly. Like if I have to see one more earthquake meme, joke, or story on my Instagram or Twitter, I'm going to lose my mind. But it was a crazy experience just because I've only ever felt that in LA. And even when I was in LA, the 5 or 6 times I've ever felt an earthquake, it's never been that strong. And I live in an apartment building now, and I'm not in a home like I was in California. So it was like really feeling unstable there. And my building is pre-war, meaning it was built in like late 1800s, early 1900s. It's not that stable. So I was like, if this thing was toppling over, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So that was a little scary. And then like 5 hours later, I'm in a workout class at PVolve, if you know, you know. And it starts shaking again. And I was like, oh my God, the time has really come. Like, I need to get right with people, get right with God. Like, it's coming. And I was like about to get on the train. And I was like, I actually refuse to be in a train during an earthquake. So I just walked around for a little bit and went home. But it was a crazy experience. And I now learned that earthquakes can happen anywhere. And that is new information to me. I thought I knew all I needed to know. And I did realize that, I don't know, it's because I went to elementary and middle and high school in Florida. Like, we learned what to do, like, during a hurricane or a tornado, like, get into a bathtub, put a mattress over you, like, whatever. Get to high ground if it's a hurricane. Is that what you do? That's a tsunami. I don't really know what you do with a hurricane. We even learned, like, what to do during a nuclear attack, like Tommy Turtle or whatever, and, like, get under your desk, whatever. But we never learned what to do during an earthquake. So, like, even if, like, it was stronger than it was, I don't even know what I was supposed to do. Like, I was in my birthday suit. I wasn't going to run outside. Actually, all my friends were running outside, and I was kind of like, is it better to be outside or inside during an earthquake? Like, if you're inside, I guess it's dangerous because things can fall on top of you. And, like, we're on the bottom floors of our apartment building. So there's 7 or 8 floors above us. And, like, if those things fell, whoop-de-whoop, we're gone. So I get how being inside is dangerous. But then again, if you go outside, like, that is the earth. It's going to swallow me up. Like, I don't know. And, like, you're surrounded by apartment buildings. What if they all fall on you? So I wasn't, like, loving the options. And I didn't know the options. So I'm going to look into that for sure going forward, just so I have that information in the back of my head. But yeah, that was the great New York City earthquake of 2024. And after, like, looking into, like, how strong it was, I saw reports that range from a 4.8 to a 5.8. Very big difference on whatever that scale is called, the Richter scale. Don't even know what that really means. I just know the higher the number, like, scarier it is, whatever. But, oh yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder what the epicenter was, because my grandma lives in Queens, Jamaica, Queens, and she also felt it, like, really, really powerfully. So I was like, maybe the epicenter is, like, downtown Manhattan, or it's in Queens, and we're on, like, on the outer boroughs or outer shells of the earthquake, because I live in uptown Manhattan. Come to find out, it originated in New Jersey, and for some reason, that makes a lot of sense, because if you know, you know, New Jersey is such a weird state. They call it the armpit of America. And, like, no offense if you're from New Jersey, everyone that's from there loves it, but, like, I gotta get behind that statement. Though I do believe that the panhandle in Alabama Shores is the other armpit. So, yeah. If you're from either of those states, so sorry. But I'm also from Florida, so I will take that in stride. So, yeah, that is the New York City earthquake. New York crazy situation part two. I'm sure you've seen this no matter where you live, but the New York City puncher. And I never thought I'd say that sentence, but like just to be in New York just makes so much sense. So for background or context, for about the last 2 weeks, it's kind of died down now, but it was like really prevalent last weekend. Girls kept popping up on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram with huge knots on their head or with black eyes. And they were like, yeah, I was walking down the street in Chelsea or in Times Square or in Soho. And I was looking at my phone. And this man came up to me talking about, look up from your phone, you don't know where you're going. Then the man would apologize and be like, sorry, I'm about to do this. And just like sock the woman in her face, like punch her in full force and walk away. And like, what? And there was like multiple girls with like black eyes and huge, like, I don't know what they're called. I'm gonna call them hematoids. I made that up and I don't think that's a real word. And if you're a doctor or like a medical student, please feel free to correct me, but I'm gonna call it a hematoid because that's like the vibe of it. It's a hematoid apparently is a powerful grounding crystal. Well, anyway, it's a big old hematoid thing on people's heads. It's like filled with blood or something. And I'm just like, I really had to think about this because I call myself a barker, not a biter. Meaning if I ever get into like a physical or if I ever get into like an altercation or a fight, and this ranges from like with old friends or frenemies to like an actual on the street or at a bar altercation, I know deep down in my heart, I can fight with my words. Like I consider myself to be a wordsmith. Like I can have you thinking about these insults for days on end. Like I can defend myself when it comes to words because that's literally my job is to argue. However, when it comes to the physical, I'm not even necessarily a pacifist because I'm like peace, love, no war. Like, yes, that's me. I'm a peaceful person at heart. I'd never punch or hit or slap anyone ever. But also, I like physically can't. And to put into context, physically can't, I did a self-defense class in high school with some of my friends. And we had like one of those little like dummy punchy things, like looks like a little man that you like learn to box on, and everyone's like learning it. She's like, great job y'all, like do this if a guy grabs you like this, do this if they punch that way, whatever. And so she came to me, I was like second from the end, and I'm like doing the drills, and she was like, yikes, like just carry mace. And I'm kind of like, can you say that if I'm literally paying you to teach me how to punch? But yeah, so I carry around like my birdie. I need to get mace. I'm pretty sure it's illegal though unless you press charges. So look into your state laws. But I'm gonna get a birdie and all those crazy things because I was realizing like if someone came up to me and just punched me in the face, what would I even do? Like I don't even know what my fight or flight reaction would be. Like would I scream? Would I punch them back? Would I like hit it with my umbrella? Would I run? Because Lord knows I cannot run. My mile time is like 22 minutes. Like, that's not an option either. So this whole, like, weekend I've been, like, walking around with my keys in my fist just in case, like, someone tries to come at me. But I really don't know what I would do. And that's also a problem, something I'm going to look into. But, yeah, just, like, a crazy fiasco. And they finally caught one of the guys. And I, like, found his Instagram because it went viral. And he has so many videos of him just harassing women. And one question I had, like, throughout watching the videos, throughout watching the ordeals on TikTok, what are people that are around these situations doing? Because, and I don't even know what I would do, because let's say, like, I see something happen, like someone fighting or someone gets hurt or someone falls, my first reaction is to run to them and help them, like, help the victim, or that's, like, calling 911 or helping them up, things like that. But if someone's, like, is being violent or has like a weapon, like I don't know what I'm gonna do. So do I run? Because if I run, I'm gonna get outran and I don't want to be like the one in the back. So I'm also like really soul searching and digging deep and figuring out what to do about that issue. But yeah, women out there, stay safe. Men, stop punching people. And also let's like be more aware of our surroundings. And if you see someone in trouble or someone getting hurt, please help them, or like whatever you should do in that situation. I don't know what the right or wrong is per se. But the idea that like it wasn't just one man, it was like a group of men playing a game apparently. Where like this is really my thing. These men, I'm like picturing this. They were like at a bar or like a sports bar. And they're sitting around a table and they're talking about how bored they are with their lives. Like things aren't going right. Their woman left them. Their job is being annoying, whatever. And they really sat there and they were like, yo, let's walk around and just punch women in the face. Like that will solve all of our issues. And I'm just like, they really sat there and like came up with a plan because they were in different areas of New York to just sock women in the face. Oh, what? I like my mind can't comprehend that. And also like jail time, prison time, charges, please. So I know at least one has been arrested as of now, and I haven't really seen that many stories or TikToks about them anymore. So I'm hoping that the game is now over. But yeah, not really loving that energy at all. But yeah, so that's the New York updates for the week. That's my city. Hopefully we get ourselves together and we stop that, because I'm not loving what's happening.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, New York City earthquake, the puncher. Last and certainly not least, because this album, and you're gonna know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. This album has restored my faith in this country, in humanity, in the human cause. It has made me want to be a better person. It has cleared up my skin. It has made my waist snatched. And I just don't know, like deep in my heart, like this album has changed the tide of the world. We needed this. We really, really needed this as a human people. And that album is Cowboy Carter by Miss Beyoncé. And I must say, I am a lifelong Beyoncé fan. I'm talking about, I was at her concerts in my limited to Justice sweater short combos. Like, I am a day one since I was like 7 or 8 years old. So when she came out with Renaissance, I was like, I'm not very big on like dance, EDM kind of music, house music. And so the first few listens of the album, I was kind of like, Beyoncé, I love you, but like, this is not it for me. But once I came to my senses, obviously, I realized how genius the album is for sure. So when it came to Cowboy Carter and she said country, I must make a confession on this podcast to be immortalized for the rest of my life that I, Sydney Winter, am a fan of country music. And I'm not talking like Zach Bryan, Luke Bryan, Zach Bryan Brown, all the people in that family. I'm not that kind of country fan. I'm like Americana, folk, Willie Nelson, classic country, like Red Clay Straits, like that vein of like folk Americana, whatever. And I have been judged for it. I have been ostracized for it, but I remain a fan through and through. So when she said she's coming out with an urban country album and that it wasn't country, it was Beyoncé, I knew that this album was going to be for me. And I have to say, like, this album is 10 out of 10 for so many reasons. I'm not just saying that as like a delusional Beyoncé fan. I mean this as like someone who has studied this exact topic, because if you've heard me yap about being in law school, if you are in a journal or like a law review, you have to write a note, which is like a long form legal thesis on a novel issue. And my thesis, which I finished in February, just because like Beyoncé gets me and like wanted me to really understand this album, she waited until March. But my note, it was on historically the ways that Black artists have always been at the forefront of genre creation, formation, reinvigoration, reimagination of like literally every single form of music, whether that's country music, house music, rock and roll, blues, jazz, spirituals, hymnals, hip hop, rap, like all of these major American pop culture genres were started by Black artists, but were popularized by white artists. And the reason for that, there's plentiful, whether that's like mess up contracts, racism, segregation, etc. I talk about how like copyright law aids in that sort of disenfranchisement of Black artists. Anyway, so I've done like a lot of research into the big founding artists of genres like rock and roll, of house, of country for the past 8 or 9 months. So for Beyoncé to pop out with a house for act one, a country album for act two, and most likely a rock album for pop for act three, like, the girl gets it. She gets it. We're on the same page. We're on the same note, you know? So coming into that album with that lens, whoa, 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 whoa. So starting off, American Requiem was probably one of the best album starters ever because it's so good. And I think this is one of those albums where you need to listen to the album in chronological order because it tells a story. And I saw people on TikTok talking about like, oh, Beyoncé's doing a country album. Of course she would cover the most popular song in country, Jolene. I love me some Dolly P. She's the reason why I love having big boobs and acrylics and big hair. But Jolene's been my favorite song since I was like a little kid. And I remember this interview she did with Trevor Noah where she was like, there's been 400 covers, at least 400 covers of Jolene, but the one person I want to do a cover is Beyoncé. So to see like Dolly not only have her own interlude explaining sort of this idea before it changes to Jolene, but the fact that Beyoncé made Jolene her own with like new lyrics, like a different spice on things, like her mind. She's so big-brained. I love her for that. But she was right when she said like this isn't necessarily a country album. Like, yes, it has country influences and country motifs, but like the album itself has pop elements, it has rap elements, it has Americana elements. Like, it just truly is a visionary album, and it's one of her top four of all time. My favorite song is Tyrant because I have really good taste. But like Bodyguard, Yaya are also super good. Blackbird makes me want to cry because if you haven't heard it, it has four or five black women who are country singers now on the song, which is of course going to give them so much exposure. But Paul McCartney wrote Blackbird about the women that were part of Little Rock Nine that desegregated schools in the South in the 60s. I think the 60s. Don't quote me on that. I should know that, but I'm yapping. So about the Little Rock Nine. So like to have like black women now singing about that song, like, oh my God, her mind. And I love Paul McCartney. Like, yes. 10 out of 10, 5 stars. So if you haven't listened to Cowboy Carter yet, go listen to it because it's amazing. And if you hate it, listen to it again until you love it. And then you will, because like, it's impossible to hate this album. I truly believe that. And yeah, I love you, Beyonce. You will always be famous. Yes.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, I have taken my antidepressants. I have just chugged a coffee. I feel like I could land a plane. I could solve world peace. I could yap for an hour, so ready to go. If you're listening to this, you're probably wondering, like, oh my God, those things happened 2 weeks ago. Where's the episodes been? I implore you to listen to the other episode, a little mini episode, maybe mini, maybe long. We'll see how long I talk, that I'm going to release also today. As you guys all know, I go to Columbia. If you have open Twitter, Instagram, the news, talk to any college student, you know, or maybe you don't know, that things at Columbia have been crazy the last 2 weeks. It's affected me personally, it's affected my friends, affected my ability to study, to focus, to prepare for exams. And I'm gonna do a whole other episode on that. But that is why I have not posted, and I'm so sorry. I've really been trying to balance everything. I'm feeling a lot better now. Today's the first day I've like smiled and gotten up and felt motivated to do something. So I'm feeling good now. I'm going to release that episode explaining what's been happening at Columbia, how it started, the truth about what's happening, how it's affected me, how I feel, etc. So you don't need to listen to that, but if you want to, it'll be there. But I'm going to finish out this episode because I'm actually so excited for the topic. So after that extremely long introduction about my obsession with Beyonce, I had been thinking about this a lot the past few days because I applied to go abroad a few months ago, like over winter break, to go to London for, why did I say it like that? London for the fall semester next year. It's my last year of law school, so I figured it's my last time to go abroad, risk-free, and I'll be able to travel around Europe, get away from school for a little bit because things have been so crazy the last few years. And I don't know, like I just wanted a change of scenery. I've always wanted to live in London, and I wasn't able to go to Paris in undergrad for abroad because of COVID, everyone's sob story about abroad. So I figured this would be the last time for me to go. I suggest pull the trigger and go. So for some reason, I got in and now I'm like reeling about whether or not I actually want to go. And the problem is that when I was applying, I was in a very different place when it came to my mental health, what I'm going to do next year in terms of like organizations I'm leading, how I'm involved on campus. I'm getting published next year. I'm like talking to someone. Like there's a lot of different layers now that didn't apply back then that I now need to consider. And so just in thinking about that, I have been struggling with this idea of, despite having so many pros and cons, one of my cons was obviously like wanting to be in a relationship with this person and me being on the fence about things, because on one hand, like I feel lucky to have met this person and I want to be able to explore things without picking up and moving across the world for 3 months or 4 months. But at the same time, I don't want to miss out on an incredible opportunity for something that I didn't know is going to happen. And also, like, I truly believe that, like, if something is meant to be, I don't think my choice is going to make me lose them per se. But in many ways, I'm just going back and forth about that and how I've let, not necessarily my centering of men, but like my desire for relationship and how much I love swayed me from choices before. And so just in this process of trying to decenter romantic relationships as part of my sort of purview of my pros and cons, I had been thinking about this for a while, and it was something that I had told my therapist was like one of the things I really wanted to focus on this year, which was decentering men, but more importantly, centering myself. And she made the great point that I will never in my life regret putting myself first, centering myself, prioritizing myself. But most times you will regret doing the other option. So like I would more likely regret staying here and missing out on incredible opportunities for someone that, one, I'm not even dating, but two, that would probably make the same choice if they were in my shoes. And I do think that, and this is my just like a personal thing, I truly believe that if something is for you, you can't mess it up. So I think that me going abroad isn't necessarily going to be the issue that would make or break things. But I'm really on this journey of wanting to put myself first, centering how I feel, what I want to achieve, rather than trying to maneuver my life and my choices and my priorities to put someone else first. So let's throw it back to the beginning, because I do think this is something that is both learned, but is so subtly forced upon us when we're younger, that by the time we're 23, 24, 25, and in these formative times in our lives when we're beginning like serious relationships, it's already ingrained in us. And it's something we have to actively unlearn, or if you're privileged enough to not learn it in the first place. So growing up, I went to a predominantly Jewish elementary and middle school, and then a Episcopalian high school, where we already had very small classes. Like I think my graduating class was maybe 110 people. And these are the same people I went to school with from junior kindergarten to senior year. So like I knew these people very, very well. Some might say too well. And I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. So it's already like a very racially segregated town, low key. But especially being in private school, I was one of very, very few Black girls. And I'm talking like, I think maximum we had maybe three. And that was later when I was in high school. When I was in elementary school, I was probably the only one for most of the years I was there. So I would never necessarily say that I grew up having problems with confidence. Like, I knew I was very smart. I loved dance. I thought I was good at it. I loved reading. And like boys weren't necessarily ever really on my mind in elementary school. Obviously, when you get to middle school and high school and you're like watching all these TV shows like Gossip Girl and everything's always about relationships and who you're dating, and your friends are starting to date people, that did like sort of start to become a thing for me. But I think I was very highly aware from an early age that in the setting I was in, I was not what was considered to be attractive. I understood that just one, being the only Black person in most spaces I was in, but I think also just like literally hearing comments from boys growing up saying like, oh, I would like you if you weren't Black. Yes, that was a direct quote from seventh grade. Or just seeing that like the guys I had crushes on, it wasn't necessarily like ever something that was attainable. Like I knew they were like pipe dream crushes. Anyway, so I think that once I finally left undergrad and came to New York, where obviously I was now surrounded by a lot more people that looked like me, people started to find me attractive. Like I was in a space where people were starting to look at me, if that makes any sense. So it wasn't until college that I necessarily got a lot of confidence in how I looked physically and became more comfortable in putting myself out there relationship-wise. So I think that because it was such a moment of change for me just in all aspects of my life, like I'd gone from a pretty small city to a big city. I was now very independent. I was starting college, living on my own for the first time. I think that it just sort of became a bigger part of my life. Like now that people had found me attractive, I started going on dates for the first time. And because I'm an adult now, I never had those like itty bitty baby relationships in middle school and high school where like I learned how to stand up for myself and how to put myself first and prioritize myself. I thought that if someone had a crush on me, like I was lucky, I should be grateful. Like I'll put up with any sort of behavior. I'll put them first. I'll make them think that, you know, they're number one in my life because that's what I need to do to make someone like me, which sounds stupid, like looking back at it, but I think it's something that was ingrained in my head from a very early point on in like my trajectory of romantic relationships. So, and I think it doesn't help that like the relationship I had for like all of my college years, like all 4 years basically coming into law school, which if you listen to season one of this podcast is the one that I'm constantly crying over. It was just like a very abusive, sounds like a very strong word, but it's just like the power dynamics were very unequal. Like this person was 5 years older than me. They were in law school when I was an undergrad. So like I already came into the relationship pretty insecure because they were already older than me. It was my first like long-term boyfriend. And I think they knew that they could get away with a lot of certain behaviors that they probably wouldn't be able to with someone their own age. And obviously I wanted to go to law school too. So I looked up to them professionally, academically, and just as sort of like a partner. And I think that they found that if they treated me a certain way and that kind of insecurity I felt remained, they could get away with a lot more behavior than they normally would. And so I started to internalize that from a very early on point in our relationship. And so all throughout college, like he came first, like before my friends, before school in some instances, like if he was not happy, my day was ruined. So it became to a point where like it became very, very unhealthy. I don't think that I realized the sort of like Stockholm syndrome obsession I had in the relationship until I had graduated. So after I like started to realize that, I feel like so many And even though I was aware that like the relationship was unhealthy and that the way I dealt with things was not healthy, I had already internalized those feelings for 4 years. So when I started to date in my first 2 years of law school, it felt so hard to decenter these people. Like, I had seen my friends go on dates, and like the minute they saw a single red flag with someone, they were gone, dropped, easy. For me, it's so hard because for some reason I feel this need to make these people like me. Like, I feel like I have to earn their respect or earn their value, not just because I want them, but to, I guess, appease myself and that younger part of me that never felt loved or attracted or attractive to other people. And so it's so hard to let some of my friends or make my friends understand that sometimes that like, I understand the red flags, I see the red flags, and consciously I know that I deserve better. But sometimes, I don't know what it is, if it's like an ego or a pride thing or a trauma response, that I have to make that person respect me. I have to make them value me. Like, for some reason, it feels like I need them to reaffirm my value. And I think that because I have put so much stock and stake into how men felt about me, I was constantly in the state of insecurity, because I have learned the hard way. If your sense of security, your sense of self-value and self-worth and self-appreciation is based on someone else's feelings, you will never feel secure, ever. And like, sometimes, yes, you might find someone that likes you, that you're in love with, and you feel so happy and so attractive and so confident, not just in your looks, but in the way you feel and your academics and your professional life, etc. Like, things just start clicking into place. But the second things go wrong or you break up, you feel yourself plummeting again. And I think that in realizing now the kind of life I want for myself post-law school, like as I'm entering a new phase of my life, my priority above honestly everything else is my self-security, my self-value, prioritizing me in every way possible, because I'm very aware that how that overlaps into every other aspect of my life. Like, I can't expect to be successful at work, successful at school, happy, peaceful, sane, having healthy relationships, having healthy friendships, if I don't present my best self first. So I took like probably 8 or so months over the last year to really just focus on myself. And I realized in this decision process when I was applying to London, which is why I brought it up, having that even on my con list was sort of like a stopping point for me, where I was like, I know that progress isn't linear, but I think one, me putting it down and then immediately catching myself and saying, okay, this should not even be a consideration at this point. Like, yes, practically it is, but I think that putting my desires for new opportunities or rare opportunities first and having those experiences, it's so much more important than some relationship that I don't even know I'm gonna have. So I think that finally realizing that for myself and catching it before I let it become a thing was just like a sign of progress for me, which might sound stupid to other people, but I think if you know the way that I acted those 4 years, that's such a big leap of progress for me. So while that was probably one of the main things holding me back from going, I finally decided today that no matter what happens in those relationships, like, I'm putting my desire to have these like new experiences and cool opportunities first. So I'm fully gonna go as of now. And if I don't go, it won't be because of that. So I think that this larger conversation that I've seen, not just on TikTok, but like in TV shows and talking with my friends about not necessarily decentering men, but recentering yourself, because I don't think it just applies to men. I think it applies to putting stock or putting your self-worth in anyone else's hands is going to be unhealthy no matter what. So I think just recentering yourself and realizing that we're at this age or this point in our lives, like mid or early 20s to early 30s, where like this is probably one of the last times where we can truly be selfish. And I don't mean selfish as a negative thing. I mean as an actually extremely positive thing, where like you can put yourself, your interests, your needs, your wants, your desires first, unapologetically. And I think that that is what sets you up for a positive outlook on life, for healthy relationships, healthy marriages, with healthy relationships with your kids, with your friends, long-term relationships, success in your workplace. And so I'm just taking this moment to appreciate where I am and consciously making the effort to make sure that no matter what, Sydney's coming first. And so I just wanted to sort of put that out there because I had been talking about it with my therapist, obviously, and some friends, but just making a very conscious effort to look at what in my life is influenced by how other people perceive me and how men perceive me, and making a very conscious effort to do away with that altogether, whether that's how I act, how I dress, if I decide to go to certain events, if I take up certain opportunities, how I speak in certain spaces, and just making sure that it's coming from a place of what I want to do, how I want to do it, what I deserve, etc., than trying to appeal to some patriarchal outside expectation of how I'm supposed to act, look, do, etc. And this is all just to say the only validation that matters is internal validation. And that comes to jobs, that comes to applying to schools, that applies to friends, to any sort of situation. And if you take anything away from this episode, besides the fact that Beyonce is brilliant, it's these two things. One, your value does not decrease based on someone else's inability to see your own worth. Take that as you will. And I'll repeat that one more time. Your value does not decrease based on someone else's inability to see your worth. I had to tell myself that 1,000,000 times for it to stick. Trust me, the minute that gets ingrained into your head, no man, no woman, no external person will ever shake your confidence. Trust me. The second thing is, and this is what the lady told me. Oh, the lady's my therapist. The lady said, if you find yourself constantly trying to prove your worth to someone else, you've already forgotten your value. I'll repeat that one again too. If you find yourself constantly trying to prove your worth to someone else, you've already forgotten your own value. So remember, the only validation you need is your own. You are beautiful, you are confident, you are smart, you are valuable, you are worthy, and no man's opinion of you can ever change that. If you listen to more episodes, you can find Crying in Public on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on, you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok, and I'll link them below. If you're interested in hearing about what's happening at Columbia, the truth of things, how it's affecting students, what campus is actually like right now, and the beginning of this movement we see spreading across campuses, listen to or look out for another episode coming again this weekend. And if not, I will see you next week. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.